If you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. We are in the thick of a series here, week number two. I don't know if that's what that means. I don't even know what that means. But Hebrews chapter 11, we started a series last week that I'm hoping blessed a few people in terms of helping to simplify faith without making faith easy whatsoever. I think faith is a very simple concept that is simple, not in the idea of ease, but I think it's simple that a child can understand it, but there is so much depth to understand about faith because faith just is not easy. And we've called the series The 13th Floor, and if you've read the sermon series write-up in the bulletin, it all has to do with the idea of hotels and more specifically buildings, but hotels that have more than 13 floors. They skip, they ignore the 13th floor, they don't even recognize it or they rename it. And so nobody ever accesses the 13th floor, but everybody kind of knows it's there somewhere. Because if you've got more than 13 floors, obviously there is a 13th floor, but I think faith gets treated the same way. We understand it's out there somewhere, but we rarely access it. And as we kicked off last week, we understand that this is the way that believers are to live. We are to live by faith. But faith is more than just a simple belief. In fact, let me read you the scripture that we kicked off last week with, and we're just going to keep sitting there. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That word in the Greek language, the assurance means the substance. The word conviction there in the Greek language means the proof. And what we simply said last week is that faith is invitation and it is activation. Faith is more than just a simple belief, this ethereal thing out there. Well, if you just have faith, I'm going through a rough time, just have faith. What does that even mean? Well, if you just keep believing, keep saying the scripture over and over and over. We treat faith like an incantation. Faith was not meant to be an incantation that we bippity-boppity-boom and it's all better, but faith is the invitation that God initiates faith in our heart and we invite what he is doing and we start living it out and activating it in our lives. Faith is like Peter in the boat when the storm was raging where he is like, if you just call me out, Jesus says, okay, come on out, and he activates it. Jesus didn't make Peter get out of the boat. Jesus spoke the word and Peter responded to that which he invited in. That's what we're talking about this month. We went to chapter 11, verse 6. It says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. Believes and seek, right there. Invitation and activation. And so if you're taking notes, the main thought behind my message this morning is simply this. Faith is living in the tension between what is and what ought to be. Faith is living in the tension of what is and what ought to be. Before we just pray over the service, can I just implore every single one of you, if you are a registered voter, I am not a part of a political party. I don't pick sides. I make my decisions based upon what I feel is the conviction of my heart. But can I encourage you on Tuesday to please, if you're a registered voter, please go vote. I think that is huge. I think it's a major responsibility. We're gonna go together as a family on Tuesday because Cammy gets the vote now, which is pretty cool. And then Ethan gets extra credit for going. So we're gonna go as a family on Tuesday and we're gonna vote and one more time write my name in and on stuff and see if that even works whatsoever and probably won't. But I'm just gonna ask that something that we have practiced for years, we're talking about it last night. I said, Cammy, do you remember what we used to do when you were a kid? She says, yes, we'd show up and we would bow our heads, we would pray over the ballot, and then we would vote the way that our heart is convicted to vote. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. And you don't have to get out and have this massive prayer of Moses out loud, but just go bow your heads and just be an engaged citizen. I think that your vote does matter and it's important that we do vote. Also, before I forget, because I always forget this stuff and I'm pumped I didn't forget. I'm so excited, proud of myself. It is David and Pat Berner's 61st wedding anniversary. I'm looking around. Do I see you guys? You're up in the balcony where the sinners sit. Awesome. Just kidding. Just kidding. You're closer to Jesus up there. I am so proud of you guys. I'm so proud to even know you people because I think you guys are rock stars. You guys have been attending K-First for decades and been staples in this church. And can I just tell you that you guys loving Jesus and loving Jesus together is one of the greatest encouragements that any couple could ever see. Because can I tell you that marriage isn't about compatibility. Marriage is not always about agreeing together. Marriage is about Jesus laughing and cheering for the same teams. That's what marriage is all about. Just kidding, not really. Love you guys. Can we just give them a huge hand clap one more time? I wrote something in my journal this week. I'm a journaler, and I just like writing out thoughts because it's just how I think. I think out loud. It's why I live with multiple whiteboards in my office. I think out loud. And I wrote down this question: do I have faith in God, or do I have faith in faith? Do I have faith in God? Do I have faith in Jesus, or do I have faith in faith? And I've asked a few staff members, and they both looked at me in confusion, like, what do you even mean by that? Do I have faith in God and his will, his authority, or his timing? Or do I have faith in my ability to believe enough so that something happens? And I'm wondering if that's where we have taken faith in Christianity, is no longer a faith in God, but we have a faith in what we want, and we get disappointed in God when he doesn't give us what we want. And we go after faith. Well, faith, faith, faith. I have faith in Pastor Dave. I believed for that Mercedes, and God gave me a Hyundai. And I don't know why I picked those out, but I just went after that one. I wanted something better. I wanted something bigger. Pastor, why didn't God? If I delight myself in the Lord, Scripture says he gives me the desires of whatever the heck I want. And I'm like, hashtag out of context. So when we think about this question, it's something that has been kind of brewing inside my spirit. Do I have faith in God? Do I have faith in Jesus? Or do I have faith in faith? Because there's so much of Christianity that has emphasized the amount of faith rather than the source of our faith. Man, we get so much into the amount and more specifically what I can muster and what I can do. But that's what it's all about. We think the 13th floor or faith is all about how much that we can muster and how much that we can harness instead of focusing upon that which Hebrews chapter 12 gets into, the source, the author, and the perfecter of our faith that causes us to live in the tension of what is and what ought to be. Now, it's ironic that I'm using this as an illustration today. We just had an unbelievable active shooter training the other day, and I'm bringing in a weapon into service. That's wonderful, David. So today, I thought that when we're going to talk about tension, I could have talked about a number of things. Could have talked about marriage. Apparently, nobody has tension in their marriage because that wasn't funny. But when I think about tension, and I think about that statement that we made, that faith is living in the tension between what is and what ought to be, I believe that this honestly is the best way to really show how the Lord wants us to operate in faith. Because for some people, your faith is only in what is. I see what is. I see where it's at, and I can't believe because this is just where I is, where I is, where I am. That was terrible. It makes sense, right? That's terrible. But then there's the other side, where numbers of Christians live because we have what is and what ought to be. And we can be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. We live in the place of what ought to be, and we ignore what is. My marriage is bad, but I'm just gonna keep believing. Not gonna do anything about it. I'm just gonna keep believing. Pastor, I see things going on in the community, but you know what? I'm just gonna show up to the prayer room and I'm just going to pray. And that's good. I'm not against prayer. But faith is not just planting yourself in what is. And it's just not about planting yourself in what ought to be. Faith is the tension. The place is, this is the place where we live. It is now the place that we operate, where God has us live in this spot. And I'm calling the angle of faith, where we see where we're living at, we know where we live at, we don't ignore where we're living at, but we are directly connected to the way things ought to be. I see where I'm living right now. I know what I'm facing right now, but guess what? I've got a Savior. I've got a Lord. I've got a promise ahead of me. I know what I'm dealing with. I know the finances that I'm dealing with, but the Lord will provide for all of my needs according to my riches and glory. So I don't just live in my debt, and I don't just live in the hope that Jesus is gonna send me a check in the mail, but I begin to operate by faith and say, God, I'm gonna start putting my resume out. I'm gonna start interviewing. I'm gonna start engaging. I'm gonna be a good worker. I'm gonna be an honorable worker. I'm gonna honor my bosses, and then we begin to step in this place of living the way we ought to be while recognizing who we are, and God honors the heart. Heart of faith. Does that make sense today? That we live in what is, knowing what things ought to be. I know what marriage looks like, but I know how I ought to act. And so I live in this place. And you're saying, well, Pastor Dave, like, do we ever get to this place over there? But that's where faith continues to grow. Jesus takes us from glory to glory to glory, because as I operate in this tension, the what is begins to change. The what is begins to look different. But no matter what I face in my what is, there will always be what ought to be. And he will continue to lead me from glory to glory to glory. So I live my life operating in this place of faith that lives in this beautiful tension. I hope that makes sense. We see what's happening now and we engage it in the kingdom. I call it the angle of expectation. If you need a title for the message today, write down the words, the angle of expectation. There's so many of us that we don't live at that angle. We can only live at the angle of what is. Or you just live in this place of maybe what it could be. But there is an angle that our life, that the trajectory of our life was meant to live, operate, and view life is from the angle of expectation. I was reading a psychology paper on, it was just simply called The Psychology of Selfies. Selfies, there's literally hundreds and thousands of them taken a day. And I found out that you could tell a lot about somebody by the angle of their selfie. Some of you are paranoid right now. What are you gonna say about me? Listen, I do a lot of selfies, so I'll judge myself here. But they said that from an angle, you can change the sense or the spirit of your picture based upon one of two angles. Now, the reason why this came up is we just had staff pictures because we're doing our staff Christmas cards, updating the website. And my dad made a comment that I didn't appreciate about the picture of my fam. Let's put up the picture. This is a picture of my fam. This is Cammie and this is Ethan. Cammie's 19, Ethan is 16. I love my children. They are the most hilarious people on the planet. And my dad made this comment. Looks like Ethan's the tallest in the family now. Now you gotta understand, height in my family is a big deal. My one grandfather is 5'3", the other one is 5'1". The one that's 5'3", had 14 brothers and two sisters. They're all short. I am a giant in my family, okay? My dad's got me beat by a half an inch, but I hear the older you get, you start shrinking, so maybe I'll grow dad or something. And the dad's like, oh good, he's taller now. And so immediately, as soon as my son came home from the state marching band thing in which he got fourth place in the state, go Portage Northern. By the way, Portage Northern boys football, Schoolcraft football, district champs. That's just lame. Goodness, lame cheering. So he comes home immediately. I said, dude, come here. And he walks up to me and his eyes are right here, just below my eyes. I said, just checking. Because honestly, he looks taller because of one simple word, the angle. The angle can change the view of everything. And we've even used that sermon illustration before, that the angle that directors and camera people utilize can make things look bigger, make things look shorter. But what God has called us to do when it comes to faith is have faith be that which gives us an angle of expectation. If your angle is always in what is now or just in what it ought to be, then we live with the wrong angle in life. You can live this place and depress. You can live this place and be disconnected. But when you live in the place and live in the tension, we live in the place of expectation because we see where we're at, but we see where the Lord is leading us. And when we walk in faith, we can walk with an angle of expectation. Webster's defines expectation as a belief that somebody will or should achieve something. The belief that somebody will achieve something. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. If you put it up on the screens, I won't have to turn to it. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I love that. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. In other words, so you can see what is promised. What the Lord does, and having that angle of expectation when we are serving the Lord and we're putting our faith in Jesus and we begin to activate that faith, what that does, it doesn't make us ignore where we are at, but it opens up our eyes so that we can see what God has promised. Faith in our hearts leads to an expectation that God is going to move. Faith in our hearts. When we don't ignore it, but we engage in it, it gives us an angle of expectation that says, I see where I'm at, but I know the Lord. I see what is, but I see what ought to be. And it gives me a place where I cannot just move, but I know God's going to move with me. Because he is God with us. That's faith. Write this down. I want you to understand that reviewing victory doesn't take faith. Previewing victory does. Reviewing, some of us, it's easier when you win a game to look back and say, I knew we were going to win. It's a whole different thing to show up and say, you know what? I don't know how we're going to win. All I know is we are going to win. That's what faith is. Faith is more than just looking back and seeing that what God has done in your life. Faith is saying, you know what? I know where I'm at. I know the God that I serve. And I'm going to live in this place looking in him, knowing what I'm facing. But knowing that God is going to walk me through this every step of the way. This is the angle of expectation. I don't understand, I don't always know how, but I know the who, and I go from my what is, and I start walking toward what ought to be, knowing that he is with me. Faith helps me to live in the angle of expectation. It helps me. Now, I'll admit, maybe I'm the only one in the house, that sometimes God does not meet my expectations. Anybody else? Human? Anybody? Any of the humans? First, you robots? Sometimes God does not meet my expectations. Sometimes he doesn't. There are moments I have felt let down because my expectations weren't met. But as I journaled this week about expectations, I wrote this down. Sometimes my expectations were in the wrong direction. Sometimes my expectations were not big enough. There are times my expectations were not in alignment with the character of Jesus Christ. There's sometimes my expectations were so that I could be glorified and people can pat Pastor Dave on the back. And there are times that my expectations were not met because the angle of expectation were not pointed at the kingdom, they were pointed at me. And it's not God's job to live up to our personal expectations. Some of y'all need to write that down this morning. It is not God's job to live up to your personal expectations. Had somebody tell me that one time. It is our job to make sure our kids are happy. No. It is not your job as a parent to live up to your kids' expectations. Kids, honestly, it's not your job to live up to your parents' expectations. It's our job to live up to God's expectations. And there are times that God had to come at things and contradict our expectations in order for us to have good and blessed lives. And when God contradicts what we expected, it is always for the good of those that love the Lord. God doesn't contradict us in order to punish us. He contradicts in order to bless us. That's why our expectation is not in us. We live in this place of where we're at and what we ought to be, so that if we get to what ought to be and it wasn't what we expected, our faith isn't shaken. Because my faith is not what I think it should be. My faith is not in where I'm at. My faith is in Jesus. That's why we say we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus. When we have faith in faith, that's how our faith gets crumbled like a house of cards. It falls apart because God may not meet your expectations, but I promise you, He will always meet your needs. He may not meet your expectations, but He will always meet your needs. He hasn't always met what I thought I was gonna experience. But I've learned as I trust in the Lord and I don't lean to my own understanding, that I don't always get what I expect, but I always know that He'll provide. And whatever God gives me, because I trust His hand, because I know His face. Some of y'all have been seeking the hand of God. Seek the face of God beyond anything. Because if you seek the face of God, you'll understand the hand of God. That's a whole message by itself. But as we begin to seek the face of God, we live in that tension. We don't have to put our faith in either side. We live our faith in Jesus, and we just keep following, knowing that we can live with expectation, knowing that He may not meet our expectations, but what I've discovered, it's not a downer when He doesn't meet my expectations. He blows my mind. He blows me away with what He has developed and what He will grow. And if we will trust in Him and not in what we want, He will continue to do more than we've asked or imagined. It's faith in Him and not in ourselves. He does what's best for us and for His glory. Do I have faith in God or do I have faith in faith? What is the biggest difference? One is working for God and one is working with God. When I have faith in faith, I'm working for God because I'm trying to just make Him happy so He gives me what I want. But when I have faith in Jesus, I'm working with Him. I'm trusting in Him. We can't be works type of people. I believe in works, but that's not where we start. That's the cart leading the horse. I was gonna talk about Abraham. We'll make it go back to Genesis. We spent like 2 months in Genesis. We were gonna talk a bit about Abraham, but Romans chapter 4, if we could put that up on the screens, this is such a great scripture. It says, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about, but that's not God's way. For scripture tells us Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The word there, credited, put it in his account that he was righteous. What is this telling us? That Abraham, the father of faith, so to speak, did not become righteous because he did good stuff. He became righteous because he did what? He believed God. And he not just believed God, but he acted upon that belief. And that, my friends, is the 13th floor. That's faith. Operating in that which we believe and living in the way that shows the world, this is who I am. Faith sets our heart at an angle of vision, not in order to show us things, but in order to lead us. Faith causes us to act upon what we haven't experienced. Faith causes us to believe in promises we have yet to see fulfilled. Faith causes us to trust God, even when the situation hasn't changed. Faith gives us an angle of living, an expectation, so that whatever we do, we are angling our life toward the Lord. This is why Paul wrote the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by what? faith and not by sight. We walk in a way that even though we haven't seen the promises fulfilled yet, we know where we're at, but we know where we're walking. We haven't seen things take place yet. We haven't seen the healing take place yet. We haven't received the peace yet. You know what? We live where we're at, going toward where God is leading us, knowing that He will meet us there. You see, faith is more than a belief. Faith is a pursuit. Some of y'all grew up where faith is a belief. It's more than that. It is a pursuit of where we're going. This is why in the book of John, I believe it's 92 times the word faith is utilized, and not one time is faith a noun. Faith is a verb. It's used as a point of action over and over and over. I love three times. Paul writes three different churches, and he uses these words. I have heard about your faith. You know what Paul's saying? When he writes to Philemon, when he writes to the church in Colossae, when he writes to the church in Ephesus, what is he saying that I've heard about your faith? He's not saying I've heard about how much you believe. He's hearing about what they're doing in their community as they are interacting and they're living out the tension of this is where we're at, but this is the kingdom and this is how we're following Jesus. The faith that he heard about was all about how they were living and pursuing Jesus Christ. I love what Brian Houston says. He's the pastor of Hillsong. He says, faith sees the unseen and brings it to life. It animates hopes and dreams through evidence and substance. Man, that's so good. Faith animates our hopes, our dreams, through evidence and substance. This morning, as I was journaling, and not this morning, this week, as I was journaling and just praying over this congregation, there's three things that I wrote down that I believe is for a few people this morning. And worship band, if you guys would come on out and join me out here, it helps me to wrap things up better. But I wrote down three simple things that I believe God wants to speak into hearts today. First thing I wrote down when it came to expectations is some of you have lived at an angle of life that have come off of the expectations or limitations that somebody has spoken over you. And the simple words that I wrote was stop basing your expectations off the limitations someone has spoken over your life. Man, I sat in a coffee shop, honestly, just weeping into my journal. Because there's some of you that you have been living, the angle of your expectation lives from the place where you recognize this is what is. But this is what somebody said over me. And the tension of your life is not based in faith. It's based with what somebody spoke over your life. The second thing that I wrote down was this. Stop giving yourself expectations that Jesus has not given you. There's somebody here this morning. Holy Spirit, would you just do a work now? Holy Spirit, do a work. There's somebody here this morning that you are so worn out trying to make Jesus happy, doing things that really it's about making you happy and feeling better about yourself. And it's not what Jesus ever expected you to do. And I just feel that the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to stop going after perfection so that Jesus likes you. He already loves you. And you need to spend time in Hebrews chapter 11. I read a commentator this past week that I laughed at, quite frankly. He says, when you read about the men and women of faith in Hebrews 11, they make faith look easy. I'm like, have you ever read the Bible? Look at Abraham. You know what God told him? I want you to move out by faith and go to a place I haven't shown you yet. Where? Just walk. I'll show you when you get there. Sounds ridiculous. Just go. And I'll take care of you. I'm gonna make you the father of many nations. Say, what? I'll take care of it. Then he begins to travel. And he goes They're going through a famine. So instead of trusting God and saying, God, I'm going to live in the tension of, I see we're in a famine right now, but I'm going to point my life toward what you have called me to. Do you know what he does? He goes to a different country. He goes to a place called Egypt. We learned about that a little bit last month. And he goes there and Pharaoh is looking at his wife. And so does this man of faith do? He's like, well, if he thinks my wife is hot, he's gonna kill me to get to her. So out of he's trying to preserve his life, he lies and says, oh, that's my sister. Ladies, imagine if that's what your husband said to protect his own life. I gotta protect the promises of God. That's my sister. That's weird. Pharaoh finds out, throws them out of the country. His wife gets impatient with the promises of God and says, you know what? God wants you to be a father of many nations. Here, take my maidservant and go have sex with her, and that way maybe the line. And we're like, Abraham shouldn't have done that. I agree. Neither should have his wife. See, when you look at Hebrews 11, I want to speak into someone's heart today that you are chasing after perfection. Spend that time there. God doesn't demand perfection. He asked for faith. And faith doesn't mean you have to be perfect. You don't. Jesus is perfect already for you. But faith doesn't ask you to live in perfection. It asks you to pursue Jesus. And the third thing I wrote down, and I think this is huge here, is just because your progress isn't obvious doesn't mean that your faith isn't working. Some of you have been living at an angle of expectation and you haven't seen the progress in your life. Just because you don't see progress doesn't mean the tension, that the angle isn't working. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. He's in the waiting. Live at the angle of expectation. One of the most misunderstood scriptures in the Bible, and there's lots of those. Oh man, there's lots of those. Luke 17. It's a prayer that I have been praying since I gave my heart to Jesus back in high school. It's apostles that said, Lord, increase our faith. The most literal way to translate this, it's not, the word increase is really a terrible word there. You know what they were truly saying? It was not, Lord, increase our faith. This is where we have faith in faith. But the right word, instead of the word increase, is the word deepen. There's a difference between increasing it so I can have more, but deepening it so I can know more. Because what we need is not more faith in the tension. We need deeper faith in the tension. You can have a small mustard seed, but when that seed gets deeper, that's when we begin to see the growth. And when we grow deep in our faith, it is not so that we could become something. We grow great. We go deeper in our faith with Jesus so we have something to give others. Living in the angle of faith. How do we grow expectations? Number one, expectation comes from connection. John chapter 15. Every time I read John 15, Ken and Dana, I spoke this at your wedding over your marriage. I never look at John 15 without thinking of you too. I love John 15. Expectation comes from the connection. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And more that we remain in him, we begin to develop expectation. That's when we bring the string into between what is and what will be, what ought to bring. We stay connected, and that's where faith begins to really deepen. And that leads us to the number two. Expectation should not just bring us into connection. It should lead us in this place of conviction. Faith is not a release from our responsibilities. Faith is stepping into our responsibilities. I know what I'm dealing with. I know where Jesus is leading. I know what he's calling me to. And I am taking responsibility and living in that place. Because you cannot have expectation in your faith if you have no intention on living it. You can't live in this place if you have no intention on living that out. My challenge to our people today in week number two is live at an angle of expectation. And I don't believe you can have faith if you have no intention on living it. If you really study the Jewish roots of belief, we talked about that last week, that they truly believed when they read the Torah that if you didn't live the Torah, you didn't believe the Torah. And we can't have faith if we have no intention on living it. Is this easy? No, it's intense sometimes. Pun intended. It's tense. There's struggle. But where there's struggle, there's growth. And where there's struggle, there's breakthrough. And where there's when there's pulling, there's strength. When there is struggle, we begin to see growth begin to take place. See, faith is living in the tension between what is and what ought to be. And my prayer is that God put us in that angle where we live our life with our eyes fixed on Jesus, not forgetting where we're at, but knowing where we are heading.